talk about a one-word subject this morning. It's six letters, starts with S, ends with S. Stress. Anybody know what that is? Okay. So I got a little insight on this subject. And, you know, I've been up here the last several weeks, whatever, talking about evangelistic outreach, about relationships, that kind of thing. So I'm going to take stress in that same direction as we go through this morning. But went to a men's conference a few weeks ago and listened to a guy talk about stress. And it was, I thought it was very profound. And so I wanted to take a few of those little nuggets and pass them back here this morning and see if it impacts any of y'all the way it did me. So we start with the definition of stress. Stress occurs when the perceived demand of a situation outweighs one's available resources. Does that make sense? So there's a demand on you. You have a perception of that demand. The perceived part of that is key, as we'll get into in a minute. And so your perception of that demand in yourself, you don't feel like you have the resources to meet it. And so you contract in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. You just get all balled up. So let's go through a couple examples here from the evangelistic outreach angle. You know, you're ministering to somebody that you don't know. They have a need for deliverance. They might manifest something. You've never seen that before. There is a stress introduced. You follow me? And so automatically it's like, this is new. I don't know what to do here. I'm perceiving that I'm probably going to mess up or something. And you don't feel like you have the resources to deal with the situation. And so that's the stress. You know, what happens after that is based on your reaction. We'll get into that in a minute. Okay, another evangelistic outreach example. You're ministering to somebody, and they unload on you. You know, they share the deep thing in there that's bothering them, which happens to be the same deep thing that you have that's not fully healed. And that happens, and there's a stress there because you're not fully healed from it, and so you're not sure you have anything to give this person because they've touched that place in you that hurts just as bad as what they've got. Does that make sense? Let's talk about a relationship example. We use the marriage relationship. And what I call that issue that is between two people, that whenever it comes up, it flares up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I want to add some color to this one because I think it's going to help illustrate. But this is the issue that how do I say this? It comes up, and you've become so callous to dealing with the issue that everything just shuts down. You know what I mean? And some people shut down, some people get angry, but it's absolutely unproductive when this issue comes up, and you just move in two different directions. Does that make sense? Let's talk about some biblical examples of stress. Jesus' temptation in the desert, right? The devil put a demand on him and caused him to have to choose some things that were hard, right? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, stress. And I picked this one, Jesus with the Pharisees. Think about that for a second. It's like whenever he got around those people, let's see, they would get riled up at his words, and he would impose a stress on them just by being who he was. So we don't get a pass on stress because it's throughout the Bible. You got Job, you got all those other people in there, all those other examples. So when you have a stress, there is always a response, right? And so one thing that was pointed out to me during this teaching that I heard he broke it out into a reaction versus a response. Okay? And so reaction is a sporadic emotion lacking reason. You don't really think about it, you just do it. Initially experienced when confronted by a situation. You know, reactions, I don't know, you have some extreme examples, but typically they're not all that constructive because they're off the cuff, because they're not reasoned through. And so he contrasted a reaction with a response. And a response is an action preceding a reaction guided by the information available and accessible at the time. Okay? So what I want to do for a minute is go through back through a few of these examples and look at reaction versus response. So let's look at the deliverance example. You're talking with somebody, you know, they start to do something weird that you've never seen before. Stress is imposed. You might react. So if we can shorten our reaction and increase our response, that's good, right? Because we're actually thinking. We're using the information available. So you don't know what to do, but you know God does, okay? That information's available to us as believers. We know that that He's got our back. We know that He knows that we don't have everything figured out, and He's not going to let us down. And so that happens, and you say, oh, Lord, I need Your help. Okay, just that little bit of information changes everything. So instead of turn and tail and run or whatever the reaction might be, you're using the information in God's Word to help get through the situation. In the marriage situation, you know, that issue comes up. And this is it's a kind of a maturity thing, right? Because I know that Hillary and I have been together over 20 years, and looking at how we work through these stresses the first couple of years versus where we are today is unbelievably different and unbelievably better. And it's just really neat to look back and versus where we are now. That issue comes up, and you have to be willing to dig down and find that information from God that we need that says, I know the situation. I know you. I love you. You love me. Let's work through this. Right? And that changes the whole dynamic, because instead of reacting, getting mad, walking away, whatever the situation is, you're able to stand in the fire for a minute, hear from the Lord, and formulate a response. And the response isn't like the magic fix to this, but it's a great first step towards the next time it happens. It kind of builds on itself, right? It's like strengthening a muscle. The first time, you're just glad to get through it without flying off the handle. The next time, you're able to hang in there a little bit longer, and by the tenth time, the other person's seeing something totally different, wondering what's going on, and sooner or later the whole thing starts to change. And the key to it all is, to the stress, is your perception of the situation and your ability to step back and use all the information available. Okay? If you can remember those two things, when it hits the fan, you are in a much better place. Because the perception is, I can't handle it. The information is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so this is like 110% practical. When it hits the fan this week, how's my perception? You know, where am I at in my mind with this thing? And what information do I have available to help me move through this? So there's a saying that I like, that I know all of us like. God, make me more like you. That's a good saying, isn't it? That's what we all want. And so, you know, that requires some stress. Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm not going to go too theologically deep here, but the reality is we're going to have stress because we live in a fallen world. And so I can testify 110% to this fact, that stress causes growth. When you get on the other side of it and you look back, you are a stronger person. That next time that comes against you, it doesn't have a chance because you've been there, you've done it, you've walked through it. And so not only does it strengthen us, but it also allows us to help carry other people through the same stress when they need it because we've done been there. And so dealing with stressors is God's way of strengthening us. And so you go through these things and you grow. And this builds transparency in your life, okay? Because once you've moved through one of these things and it no longer has a hold on you, you're free from that, right? And so this was another quote that the speaker said that I just love. I mean, I love this. He said, when we are transparent, the enemy can't see us. So think about that for a second. You know, when we graduate in our souls from some of these things that have had a hold on us and we're able to just be transparent with people. Yeah, I did that. You know, that was me. I owned it. I'm through it. Has no hold on me anymore. The devil can't poke that anymore. And so that's a big deal. And that's really kind of the goal in all this, is just to be conscious of the things that are happening to us, know what our perception is, know what information is available, move through it, gain strength. Next one. I got a word from a friend a couple weeks ago that was for me, and I'm going to share it this morning. It's not very lengthy. Still waters run deep. Okay. She didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it, so I've been thinking about it. So if you have a stream coming out of a mountain, say, let's just say it's like a foot deep, but there's a lot of water moving through there. If you take some big old rocks, you know, like two-footers, throw them in that stream, what's going to happen? That water is going to get roiled up, right? It's going to hit those rocks, and mist is going to come flying up, and it's going to go flowing around the rocks. And it's unsteady, unstable. If you take those same rocks, and you throw them down in a deep pool, what happens? Nothing. It's in a deep pool. So, my prayer is this morning that God leads us into deeper waters individually, in our families, corporately. But when these stresses come against us, it's like throwing those stones down there in that deep pool. It doesn't change anything. Because we have the right perception of who we are, of who He is. We have the right information because we know what He said about every situation in our life. We know what He did in all these situations in our lives already. And we're deep. And so, winding this down here, we talk a lot about battle. We sang about it a little bit this morning. Talk about the army of God, the special forces, spiritual warfare. And Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, principalities, and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. The battle's here. You know what I mean? And I'm excited because I had a medium nitro coffee this morning from Starbucks, but I really get excited about this even when I'm not caffeinated, because I like moving forward. You know, I kind of like the struggle. I like coming out the other side of the struggle, looking back on it, and feeling that satisfaction that wells up. That devil, you didn't get that one. I'm sorry, and now you're going to pay for it because I'm going to share. And so I know this, that God is looking for people ready and willing to be equipped to become transparent, to live in deep waters, so that we can change relational paradigms, so that we can show people that on the other side of that discomfort is a reward that's worth it if you hang in there, if you stay disciplined, if you seek counsel, lock arms with other believers, those types of things. It's not easy, but it is absolutely worth it to stay disciplined, to keep moving, and you will win, and you'll look back, and you'll say, yes, God, I'm ready for the next one. So there's two things you got to have to do that. You have to be willing, and you need some experience. And so you're going to get opportunities for experience, and it's up to you to figure out what you're going to do with it. And so no stress this week.